2 Corinthians chapter 11. Brethren, we are nearing the end of two series, and you have been with me most of the time. I trust that I have been profitable in these two series. One series in the evening in 2 Corinthians, the ministry of Jesus Christ, what the ministry of Jesus Christ ought to look like, what a minister of Jesus Christ ought to look like, how he ought to behave. All of these are instructional messages. Pastor Martin did a work on the 2 Corinthians during the first year of my conference, and it stuck with me. The ministry of Jesus Christ and the minister, that we are in a triumphant possession. And it's stuck with me over the years. And as we visit, come to the end of this book, I trust that you would understand what is the ministry of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of churches, there are a lot of buildings that you can see up and down Flatbush. We don't want to be one of those buildings with those people who are having a good time. We want to share the gospel of grace, that the people that hear the gospel of grace, their lives may become changed. 2 Corinthians 11, we read in the very first verse of the chapter, "Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me." Let's pray. Lord, you attended to us and to your word in the first hour and in the second hour. Now we ask in the third hour, in our Lord's Day worship, that you will attend to us and to your word again. We pray that you will make these truths known and that you will help us to apply your word. Where there is error in our lives, give us the grace to correct those errors. Where there is faithfulness, we pray that you will strengthen our resolve to be more faithful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, chapter 11 continues the apostles' answer to those in the Corinthian churches. There were more than one church that questioned his office as an apostle. Now, there is a similarity between this chapter, and you probably notice it, and the book of Galatians, because the same problem is addressed about false teachers in the church. This evening, we will address verses 1 to 16 with the following outline. 1, how Paul the apostle guarded the ministry of Christ. Verses 1 through 4. 2, how the apostle sought to glorify Christ. Verses 5 to 12. And 3, how false teachers are gauged. Verses 13 through 15. These are the subjects that I would address from this passage tonight. First, how the apostle guards the ministry of Christ. Verses 1 and 2. Oh, that you would bear with me a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I quoted from the New King James Bible. Sometimes I use the King James, sometimes I use the New King James. All of my New King James Bibles, all three of them were swept away. But I still have it on the disc, so I can use it. But every true minister of Jesus has a godly jealousy for those he labor among. If he doesn't have a jealousy, he does not love the Lord, neither does he love the people that he is ministering to. You know, sometimes we husbands say to our wives, I'm not jealous. But if she look at somebody too hard, we're ready. Right, Mason? Mason shook his head. But every minister ought to have a godly jealousy for the people that he ministers to. There's a difference between worldly jealousy and godly jealousy. Worldly jealousy looks out for self, only interested in self, what they can get. They guard tenaciously what and who they have. Godly jealousy is different. It looks out for the preservation of a person's eternal soul and the purity of that person and the church. That's godly jealousy. And some of you don't understand that. You get very uptight with it. Maybe this would help you. The apostle uses the image of a husband engaged to a wife. No man would want to see the wife he is engaged to marry flirting with another man. Miguel, you understand me? Well, Angela will help you. Or having to play second fiddle in the life of his future bride. Well, you was dating a young lady, and every time you invite her out, she said, I can't go tonight. I'm going by Harry. Well, you got to make sure who Harry is, by the way, because Harry may be a female also in this crazy world we live in. But you understand what I'm saying, brother. Constant excuses warrant some kind of investigation. Who is Harry? I remember when I was working at the hospital, this guy always used to come with books to the evening manager, Sharon Kerr. And some of you probably heard me talk about her. She was in my life for quite a few years. And this young man used to bring books. And the husband used to see this young, they work in the same department. The husband see this guy coming with his books all the time. And he said to his wife, Sharon, and I was there, let me ask you something. Is he your cousin? I'm asking you, if he's your cousin, I need an introduction. Well, automatically, the guy stopped bringing the books. Because I know where cult CK was coming from. Brother Depo, he was making too many frequent visits with his books. And CK put a stop to it. That is jealousy. So if you play, you don't understand what is jealousy, let me explain it to you in real terms. But every minister has that jealousy for his people in looking out for the preservation of their eternal soul and the purity of the church. And some Christians, some professing Christians, want to give the Lord second place, want him to play second fiddle, and the servant of God is to say nothing. The one who is doing the betrothal is to keep quiet. Is that how it is? No, it's not. That is not how it should be. A good example of what I'm saying derives from the Old Testament incident in the wilderness, where Joshua ran to Moses because Eldad and Medad were in the tabernacle prophesying. We read these words in Numbers 11, 26 through 29. Let me read it. Numbers 11, 26 through 29. There we read, but there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My lord Moses, forbid them, stop them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Are you jealous for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's servants, his people, were prophets, and that the Lord should put his spirit on them. Joshua not only guarded the office of Moses, notice carefully, he not only guarded the office of Moses, he guarded the people. Moses asked Joshua, are you jealous over my sake, young man? Would to God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. By the way, this is a prophetic utterance, because this is actually what happened. All the Lord's people, true people, are prophets. All the Lord's people, as I was saying this morning, God has put his spirit on them. There are men and women of might. And this clarifies what I was saying this morning. If you can follow, you should grasp it. Joshua demonstrated a holy jealousy for the Lord's people, even though it was unwarranted at that time. But a true minister would be like this. Remember the prophet Jeremiah, Brother Offney read it this morning, reminded apostate Judah of their relationship to the Lord, and said in Jeremiah 2, verse 2, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I remember you, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine exposals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Brethren, God is jealous over his inheritance. I don't know if you are aware of this. There's a holy jealousy between minister and those to whom he seeks to espouse or engage to be the bride of Christ. A minister's jealousy is not like the world's. It is over the purity and the holiness of the church. And if you don't have that as a servant of God, you should quit being a servant of God. That's love. Verse 3 and 4 continues. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with it. But they have the noun him. Now this is the reason why Paul was jealous, because the Corinthians were listening to another gospel. Paul cites the Garden of Eden experience with Eve, who listened to a foreign voice from without. And that's why we always say, you may hear me say it several times from the pulpit, watch who you are listening to. We have the liberty to listen to speakers we choose to listen to. But I'm afraid that some of you listen to who you want to listen to that contradict the teachings that come from this pulpit. And if you're called to minister here, don't go there or back there with something you get from out there. It gets around pretty quickly. This is the reason why Paul was jealous over the Corinthians. They were listening to those who taught another Jesus. And there's not another Jesus or another spirit or another gospel. There's only one. A Jesus who is permissive with sin. A Jesus who is partial. A Jesus who is only of the flesh. A Jesus who is tolerant with error. Another Jesus. God is jealous. God and his servants are jealous over the truth. Many times Christians do not see the dangers that are forthcoming. And as a church officer, I would ask you, if you are one that guards the integrity of this church, I want to know. If you are one that guards or seek to guard the integrity of your church, and some of you are very, very tolerant in letting things slip up in this church, bringing this church below the standard that is set. As a layperson, I don't want to use this word, are you concerned about these things? Lay people do not have a calling to uphold the purity of the church. It is the officer's duty. And sometimes we forget our calling as the Lord's servants and act in a freelance manner. It's a serious calling. Serious, yeah. And we laugh, we joke. We talk about things that happen in our lives with people. We entertain each other with our friendship. But when it comes to the ministry of Christ, we have to cut a straight line. In Exodus 34, 14 through 16, God reminded his covenant people with these words, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice to their gods, and one call you, and you eat of his sacrifice, and you take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a whoring after their gods." By the way, this is what Naomi's sons end up doing, by the way. It's very easy to change the mode of worship. It is very easy to change the hymns. It is very, and whenever you see that, sometimes the minister go away and the standing person begin introducing new hymns, and the minister is jealous. I remember we were doing a church plant in Mabilreen, and we stayed there maybe a couple months seeking to establish a biblical church. And things seemed to be going very well. Quite a number of people were coming, a lot of young people. And when we left, somebody said, "Now that Pastor Tate and the team is gone, let us go back to our old way." Well, it so happened the next Sunday, I got a phone call, and the church split right down the middle. One set said, "Listen, I am not going back to this hallelujah, praise God, amen, worship." I had to send Colin down there with a bunch of tapes, and he probably don't even remember, and a bunch of CDs that they can listen to until I get back. People can play a good game for a while. But I was jealous over what was going on. And it cost us quite a bit of money to send somebody there, the tips and different things. And a church can't function with tapes and CDs. I don't know about this virtual thing that people have in every week. That's not a church. That's not a church at all. So we see, brethren, how Paul guarded the ministry of Jesus. One, with a godly jealousy. Two, he espoused or engaged the brethren in purity to Christ. Three, he feared that they may be deceived by false messengers who beguile Eve, Satan. Second, how the Apostle Paul glorifies Christ, 5-12. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles, verse 5 and 6, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Now you know, I think you know a little bit about the history. Paul was looked upon as less than an apostle, though he stated his credentials in 2 Corinthians 12:12, when he said, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, in wonders, and here's the word again, mighty deeds. And the apostle had to do signs, Simeon, wonders, and might, dunamis, power, works of power. But Paul was defamed because he took no remuneration. He took no support from the Corinthians. And that's why he was defamed. Paul did this because he did not want to take any glory to himself. And thus we read in verses 7 and 8, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I rob other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. Paul deserved every right to be remunerated as an apostle, but he refused. Paul knew the Corinthians, and that's why he refused. Well, by the way, this does not mean that a man set apart to the preaching of the gospel and the administration of spiritual things should be neglected. And it doesn't mean that if a man comes here to fill the pulpit, that you must expect him to preach freely. He's not, men of God are not preaching for wages. But if somebody ministers to you spiritual things, it is your obligation to minister to them carnal things. So I don't want you to go off saying Paul preach free, so when you come, you preach free too. Well, I know a man, I know people. And I addressed this already earlier in 2 Corinthians. When men labor among us, they should be remunerated, no matter how little it is. And I shared with you about churches in Africa. And I was, this is Africa, I didn't expect anything. Lo and behold, one of the deacons came to me. I remember one time, I think it was the second time I preached in Lusaka. I walked away without any remuneration, and when Desire went to Lusaka, it was sent back by him. So reformation means reformation. If you didn't get it, if you're reforming, you're reforming down the line. But Paul didn't want any glory. Verse 9. And when I was present with you unwanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. And by the way, the man of God, the servant of God, should not be a burden to the people he's ministering to. You know, men of God are always like this. Shouldn't be like that. Let God be glorified. It's a good model for some men to follow, because many ministers drive expensive automobiles, live in church manses at the expense of fellow brethren who are living a much lesser life. One time we went to Rustenburg in South Africa, and there was a missionary there from the United States of America, and we stayed in this man's house, and this man's pantry was as big as the office in there. And Marcel can bear me out on this. When I left his house, my stomach was in a state of shock, because I had just come back from Zimbabwe, living, scrumping off ends. And when I went there, my stomach was in shock. Tired of eating hamburgers there. Very high quality of life. Missionaries leave the United States and go to these countries and have a very high quality of life. And it shouldn't be this way. Our lives should not be so way above the people that we are ministering to. So you can take these things however you want to take them. The Apostle Paul said that he rob other churches to support the Corinthian church. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not, is it because I don't like you that I don't take any money? God knoweth. Paul's reason for not accepting wages for labor was because he loved the church. And not because he did not love the church. On the contrary, he wanted to do this because he wanted the Lord to receive all the glory and all the praise, and also to put to silence those who accuse him of benefiting from the hoppers of the church. He dropped down to verse 12. But what I do, that I will do. Apparently, you couldn't change the apostle's mind. He says, what I do, I'll do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein their glory they may be found even as we. In other words, he says, look, I want to stop the mouths of these false teachers by not taking any remuneration from you. And that's why he did it. False teachers were demanding wages for labor, but Paul refused. By the way, the apostle said this in 1 Corinthians 9, and I'll read it to you in verse 11 and 12. He says, "If," and I quote it just now, but I misquoted it, "if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? If others are partakers of this right over you, are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but endure all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ." Apparently, these false teachers were abusing the privilege of receiving wages for service. But Paul was making a statement in refusing wages from the church. Now this chapter may seem complicated to you. I'm just trying to give you a handle of it, why it is written the way it is written, so that you can understand some of the things that the apostle was going through. Paul made this clear to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20 at that elders' meeting, when Paul said, "I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities to them that were with me. I have showed you all things how that so laboring Ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, we are seeking by all means to move the ministry in Zimbabwe where they're going to have to start supporting themselves. We are striving to take them off of our budget. And I'm telling you this because churches must learn to be self-supported and stop waiting on money from America. I have seen churches that were planted by the Lusaka Baptist Church in Zambia, about three of them that were pointed out to me. Brian, this church is now self-supported. This church is now self-supported. This church is now. We have to start thinking along that line. Maybe they can create ways, plant a garden, do something, raise something to gain some kind of income. But we need to start weaning people off of CityView's account. How did the apostles sought to glorify Christ? By preaching the gospel freely. Second, by not being burdensome to the churches. Three, to stop the mouths of those who sought their own glory. So these are two strands we have shared already. How the apostle guarded the church. How the apostle sought to glorify Christ in his ministry. But thirdly, and finally, how false teachers are gauged. How they are measured. How do you gauge a false professor of faith? How do you detect a false teacher? Paul gave three characteristics. Verse 13. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Deceitful workers. And the Lord characterized them as wolves in sheep's clothing. Paul says they transform themselves into apostles of Christ. The word transform is not the same word as one being transformed to the image of Christ. The word means to fake or to change, to disguise. And there are many who can fake conversion to accomplish their goals. They watch carefully how Christians behave and they can fake conversion. I've seen this many times. I've seen both male and female are able to fake conversions to come into the church to get a spouse. They fake there that they're converted. They carry a Bible. I've known of many instances like that. And 2-3 years or even more down the road, you see what happened. Sometimes there are children involved, but the faker can never continue to be a faker. The faker always show their colors. And you may have experienced this already in your church. Deceitful workers, faking, transforming themselves as image bearers of Christ. There are many like this. But a false conversion can be spotted by their fruits, their pattern of behavior. A fake can only hold out for so long. There were only 12 apostles. After the resurrection, Paul replaced Judas. And some were faking to be apostles. An apostle is one who is sent with the word of God. And these false apostles were pretending that they were sent by God, when in truth, and in fact, they were sent by themselves. In the early church, men were saying that they were sent. And here Paul called these ones false apostles. But today, false apostles can be likened to those who say they are Christians, that they are sent by God, but have a distorted message. The apostle also says, use another word. Do not marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The word angel is the word messenger. False teachers appear as gospel preachers. And verse 15 says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul also said that false teachers come as ministers of righteousness. Now notice these three words carefully that are used, how false teachers appear. Notice these three words, apostles, messengers, and ministers. And this is how false teachers appear. They don't come as enemies of Christ, but in appearance they come looking like believers. But we have them all over, by the way. We have them all over. You can detect them by their fruit, by the message they speak. Finally, verse 16. Say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Apostle here uses one of his famous sarcastic remarks. This is a little sarcasm. He says, don't think me for a fool. Yet if I am a fool, receive my foolishness. Paul is not a fool. Paul is a wise apostle. But to some, he may seem foolish. So brethren, in our lesson tonight, very quickly, let's recap what we looked at. The Apostle Paul guarded the ministry with a personal jealousy. He was jealous over the purity and the preservation of holiness in the church. Any true minister would do the same, would act the same, and spiritual people in the church would appreciate the minister's jealousy. Carnal people would not. Why are you watching me? Why have to give an account? Second, the apostle sought to glorify Christ. How? By laboring without reward, unlike the false teachers who demanded wages for service. Third, the apostle showed how one can gauge false Christians. They appear as false apostles, claiming they are ministers, claiming they are messengers sent. They appear as messengers of light and ministers of righteousness. But Galatians chapter 6 in closing warns, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. But that verse didn't end there. It ends with an encouragement. And that encouragement is to continue in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you faint not. So brethren, this is our 18th message from the book of 2 Corinthians. It has two more chapters, and I pray that the Lord, by his help, would help me to get through to the end of these chapters in 2 Corinthians. So let's pray and ask the Lord to bless his word tonight. Our Father, we thank you for the written word, the instructions of the word, the warnings of the word, what to look out for in the ministry of Christ, what the ministry of Christ ought to look like, what happens in the ministry of Christ. We pray you will help us to be a people that are alert, a people that are faithful, and a people who love the Lord Jesus. Be with us now as we are dismissed. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for coming the next time the doors of the church are open. Strengthen our resolve this night. In Jesus' name, amen.